Well, good morning, Bible Way Church, and happy Easter. This is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And on this day, we particularly rejoice because Christ is risen. Well, we're here with just a very, very small number here at Bible Way Church, and we do thank you for joining the broadcast. Brother Benoy will be bringing us a message shortly, and also some special singing this morning. What I'd like to ask if I can do is, Brother Gary Turbefield, will you come for us this morning and open in prayer, please?
Our Father, we just sure do love you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this special day, Lord, that you bless us with, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have risen, Lord. We serve a risen Savior. And Lord, I thank you for that this morning, Lord. I know this morning, Lord, that there's many, Father, that would be here this morning, Lord, Father, if it wasn't for the virus. But, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just go with them right where they're at, Lord, this morning. Lord, that you'd bless them, Father, that you'd just use them, Father. I pray, Lord, you just go with our pastor, Lord. Lord, please touch him, Lord, as he comes this morning to bring your message. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just touch him, Lord, and help him, Father, to be led by the Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, you give him that unction, Lord, that he needs to preach this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, Father, that all over this, all over America today, Lord, that people would just realize, Father, that what today is. Lord, it was just saddened their heart last night as, Father, we was listening to the news, Lord, and they was going to people, Father, and asking them, Lord, what does Easter mean to you? Many of them couldn't even tell it, say what it really meant, Lord. And it's just so sad, Lord, Father, that you came, Father. You went and you died and went to the cross. You died for our sins, Lord, and Father, many people don't even know it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that some way, somehow, Father, that during this time, Father, that they'd see the need of a Savior, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. Now, Father, just go with us, Lord. Please lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Appreciate that. And happy Easter to everybody. Now, wanted to start this morning with our verse slide. And we do appreciate everybody joining us for this. The verse this morning from the empty tomb is, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He, Christ, is not here, but he's risen." That's from Luke chapter 24, parts of verse 5 and verse 6. And we're just thankful on this morning that we do serve a risen Savior. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our announcements, we'll have our opening of prayer, which we've done. Our announcements, the special music, and Miss Tanita, Miss Charity are here to sing for us this morning. The pastor's sermon, we do hope it'll be a blessing to each one of you. And Brother Richard, we'll continue to mention the social distancing. Pulled this down, of course, from CDC last week, maintaining that people keep a six-foot distance between each other. Also advising the simple cloth on the face, that type thing. And let me stop just for a second to say there are times when we're going to have to get out and be in front of people. You have to go to the grocery store or what have you. Please maintain that six-foot distance. And, you know, and don't congregate. I mean, you know, that's what they're trying to do is keep people from pushing grocery cart beside grocery cart and spending 20 minutes in the aisle, that type thing. So let's really be smart. This thing is just really becoming very active here in Northeast Tennessee. And this building is fairly empty this morning. We want everybody back here in their right place as soon as this cloud lifts. And what a blessing that'll be to see you here again. So be safe until that point. All right, I want to say thank you to our first responders, to those in the healthcare, those that are working to keep us fed and healthy, and the essential services, those on the front lines in the military, those driving trucks and on the warehouse floors. Thank you to all of those folks so much for everything that's been done and being done to look after us. I do want to remind you that the messages are online. If you're seeing this, it means you found this one, and we hope that you'll be able to not only enjoy it, but also share it with other people so that it might be a blessing to them. Two things here. One is, remember, if you need something, groceries or someone to talk to, or your car needs fuel or what have you, if you'll reach out to the pastor, one of the deacons in the church, someone here at the church would be glad to help you. And also on the right side of the screen, something I like to do, we don't know how much longer this shelter-in-place thing is going to work, but this is chalk art Happy Easter, Christ is risen. And this was done from, in regard to the shelter in place. And if you would send me a couple of pictures, maybe Miss Charity, you know, of the kids, or, something you're doing at home, making cookies, or how you're occupying your time, we'll share a little bit of that. But send me some shelter in place photographs that we can share and get things back to a little bit more normal. Okay, so with that, we're going to ask Miss Tanita and Miss Charity if they'll come and sing for us this morning.
Then I journey to where old Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in the grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. Oh yes, he's living and death has died.
Thank you, ladies, and just wanted to say this before Pastor Vinoy comes to bring the Easter message. There is the request that comes in about what to do with tithe and offerings. There are folks here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. You can mail a check or something to Brother Gary. We do appreciate the faithfulness of the people in the church who understand that the work goes on, the bills come in, what have you, and just standing in the gap until we get back to things as they normally are. Appreciate the wonderful music. Appreciate the great spirit here from the Lord this morning. And Brother Vinoy, we'll get out of your way. Looking forward to your Easter message.
Well, praise the Lord. Joy to be here today. A joy to know that he's alive. Because he lives, I'm going to live forever. Amen. In his presence, what a blessing the ladies have been. What a blessing Brother Steve is to us. He is such a help. He reminded me a while ago that it's been 5 years since he left the pastorate. Brother Steve didn't know it, but God knew that I needed him, and I appreciate him. I appreciate my people. I miss them. I was sitting there listening to y'all sing, and I was hearing from heaven, but I was also hearing Brother Ralph back there saying, amen. What a blessing. What a blessing our people are. It's just good to be saved, good to know the Lord. We'll be in the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 17 this morning. Acts chapter 17. I thought I had the Easter mail on Wednesday. I ought to know better. But anyway, mail normally don't run that early. I was going to preach on He Arose and the difference that it made in the life of those that are devoted, those that were discouraged, those that were defeated, and so on. But God last night directed my heart into the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. I want to preach this morning for a little while on Revelation, repentance, and the resurrection. Revelation, repentance, and the resurrection. The Word of God said over here in the book of Acts, I'm going to be in the entire chapter at different places at different times, but the Word of God, Paul is talking to those at Mars Hill where they're ignorant of the Scripture. And he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." I thought a while ago as Brother Gary was praying, I think I saw some of the same news clips, Brother Gary. They asked one lady what Easter was about, and she said, Jesus was born. I mean, it's sad when somebody could be walking the streets in America and don't know the difference between Christmas and Easter. It's sad. I'm not fussing at the lady. I'm telling you that just like here at Mars Hill, many are ignorant of the truth. And I don't use that word in a derogatory way. That means they do not know the truth. Yet we live in America, a country that was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. And here the Bible said, God that made the world and all things therein. I was leaving home this morning and what a scene. I turned right on Bradley Creek Road. I wanted to go over to 11W. There was something that got my attention on 11W. And that was one of those, what do you call that thing? A sausage and egg McMuffin. That's what it was, amen. And so I had to run by McDonald's, and I didn't have to, but I felt led that way. And Brother Steve, as I looked to my right down towards Rogersville, which would have been looking west, the clouds were black and hanging low and dark. As I looked to my left, which would be looking back towards Kingsport, looking towards the east, the sun was coming up and the sun was peering through underneath the clouds. As I looked straight ahead, Brother Mike, there was a flock of geese flying in a V. God said, victory. We're in the clouds. Yes, we are. This not being able to meet together with God's people. I mean, the president, he's saying something that I don't know if I can ever do, but he said even after this, we might ought to stop shaking hands. I don't know if I can do that or not. Y'all just have to forgive me. Amen. I want to hug Brother Steve's neck so bad right now. I can't stand it, Brother Rose. Amen. And we're just praising God that through it all, we're believing Him to give us the victory. The Word of God said here, He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Beloved, even in their ignorance, Paul was telling them, He's just a heartbeat away. He's just a prayer, a humble prayer away. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Watch verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Just as sure as Jesus got up, every man, every boy, every girl, every woman will stand before him in the judgment. Just as sure as he rose again, God said, I'm giving you this assurance. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, I want you to notice this, and I want you to ask yourself this question. Where do you fit in these three categories? When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I think about the news media this week and how that when a man would encourage people to read their Bible and pray, how that many in the news media would mock. They're not just mocking us. They're mocking him. The fact of the matter is, ladies, they don't know him. If they knew him like we know him, they'd be worshiping him this Lord's day. Some mocked, and others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So some just openly mocked the resurrection and the truth, and some said, not now, later. I believe that's Satan's favorite lie. He'll tell people, not now, later, not now, later. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite and the woman named Damaris and others with them. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would just help us, because, Lord, if we're ever going to be a help, it will only be because you helped us. Help us, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray for that one, our Father, that's putting off, Lord, the most important thing they'd ever do, and that's trusting Jesus as their Savior. I pray for those, our Father, that are mocking the gospel, mocking, our Father, your people, mocking the Scripture. I pray, God, that some way, Lord, you'd reveal yourself to them. They'd repent of their sin, come to know Christ. I pray for the believers this morning, Lord. God, I realize, our Father, that this is a special day to the children of God. I pray for the day, Lord, that it would come soon, Lord, when this church can be full again of your people. Lord, we've sensed your presence through these days and trying to make the videos and to preach and to teach the Word of God. Lord, you knew what you were doing when you said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Lord, you knew how we needed one another as God's people. Lord, I pray for our people, especially those, our Father, that don't have much family, Lord, that are up in years and alone. I pray, God, you'd visit with them this day. Help us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I studied this passage of Scripture last evening, the Lord spoke to my heart about several things, and I want to share those with you today. Revelation, repentance, and the resurrection. Years ago, I heard a man make a statement. He said, why? He said, getting saved is just as easy as taking a drink of water. That's maybe a little bit of an oversimplification. A wise preacher said to him, said, sir, let me see you get a dead man to take a drink of water. The Word of God said that before you and I come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin, that we were dead in our trespasses and our sin. Every time a sinner is saved by the grace of God, a resurrection takes place. He becomes alive. The Bible said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. The first thing I want to look at today is revelation. I saw something here as I sought to dive into these scriptures last night that I've never seen before. I just want to say this morning, in the onset of this first thing I want to share about revelation, beloved, no one has ever been saved by the grace of God apart from God revealing himself. We weren't looking for him. He was looking for us. And beloved, listen, I believe that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe according to the word of God, here we're going to see God revealing himself through the scriptures to three different groups of people. And I want you to understand these things that might be a help to you. First of all, in chapter number 17, in verse number 1, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And the word of God said, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So you see the Apostle Paul going in for three Sabbath days, reasoning in the temple with these people at Thessalonica from the scripture. This is something. This is wonderful what God showed me right here. The word of God said, these heard the scripture. Look at verse 3. Opening, alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Here, Brother Steve, is a group of people at Thessalonica that are hearing the word of God. And the word of God said some of them believed. I want you to keep that in your mind and in your heart for just a moment. They heard the word of God, and some of them believed. The Lord's going to teach us something in this chapter. You know what our prayer is through this time? That maybe there'd be somebody that would tune in a video or tune in a broadcast. Tune in somebody that's preaching the word of God. And beloved, in this quiet time, this alone time, that some of them will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation. They heard the scriptures, and some of them believed. I want you to go with me now on down in the text to verse number 10. The word of God said, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Watch this now. Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. In verse number 12, therefore many of them believed. What about that? Some heard the word of God. They heard it. They heard it only three Sabbath days, and some of them believed. But those, thank God, that were in this book every day and searching the scriptures and wanting to know, amen, is this true or is it not true? The word of God said there at Berea, many of them believe. Oh God, turn Bloomingdale into a Berea where people would get in their Bible and understand that it's not just a preacher that believes. It's just not a Baptist church that believes. But many can believe on the Lord Jesus if they just get in their Bible. You say, preacher, why is it important? I believe it's important because the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How can we expect, beloved, to have scriptural faith without the scripture? How can we expect to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without the Bible? Beloved, listen, God is showing us the importance of the word of God. Oh, this is a blessing. In Berea, they searched the scriptures daily, and many of them believed. Now watch this. At Athens, we saw at Thessalonica, they heard the word of God. Some of them believed. We saw here at Berea that they searched the word of God, and many of them believe, but at Athens, they are totally ignorant of the word of God. The word of God said, watch this now, look at verse 23 first. He said, I passed by and behold your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. The Apostle Paul's not slamming the people at Athens.
The Apostle Paul loves the people at Athens. That's why the Word of God said when he saw the city wholly given unto idolatry, his heart was stirred within him. He wanted to see them, beloved, worship the true and the living God. But he said, you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. Look at verse 30. The Word of God said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so here's a group of people at Athens. They're ignorant of the Word of God. They're ignorant of the Scripture. And still yet, watch this, certain. Now it gets down on an individual level. Look at the last verse in chapter number 17. The Word of God said in verse 34 of chapter 17, the last verse, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. What about that? They heard the Word of God, some believed. The Word of God said here, they searched the Scriptures and many believed. And here in a place where they were totally ignorant of the Word of God, God's grace came to certain men. Many were mocking. Many were saying, some other time. But thank God, there was some that even in the midst of the ignorance said, I'll take Jesus to be my Savior. What a blessing that is. We see the revelation, the importance of the revelation here in the Scripture. The Word of God said there that he was risen again in chapter number 17 and verse number 3. He must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. In verse number 11, the Bible said, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. This is speaking of the same message, the same gospel message they received, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Then in verse number 18, down at Athens, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. They're accusing Paul because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. There's four references in this chapter to the resurrection. Three of them are direct and one of them is indirect. In verse 31, the Bible said, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance to all men in that he raised him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, I don't know where America's going to be. I know where I'm going to be when Jesus comes. I'm going to be with him. I'm glad I live in America where I can hear the Word of God. I'm glad I live in America where I can preach the Word of God. Beloved, there's some things that are important here. I thank God for the Scripture. Those that heard it, those that were ignorant of it, and those that searched the Scriptures daily, the outcome was very different. What a good time it would be to get in our Bible. What a good time it would be. I've said this for years. We'll never be any closer to God than we are to our Bible. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this morning, we see revelation. I believe it's important that we pray that God would reveal himself. I think of testimonies among our people, how that God came by. When you didn't have him on your mind, he had you on his mind. And thank the Lord that he did. Oh, beloved friend, the second thing I want to mention today is repentance. The Word of God is clear. These people were ignorant, and God said there was a time when I winked at that ignorance. But no more. Jesus has come. Jesus has died. Jesus has rose again. Beloved, I tell you, there's no excuse in America for a person to be ignorant of the truth of the Word of God. You can turn the radio on and hear the truth. You can turn the television on and hear the truth. You can sign on to the internet and hear the truth. Now, you can also go to all those places and hear a lie. You say, preacher, how do you know the difference? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If it's the word of God, it's truth. And if it's not the word of God, it's not truth. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. I would give you something, beloved, as we look at this repentance for just a moment. The Bible said in verse number 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I will tell you this, I'll say it lovingly and say it kindly, but it's the truth. There are a lot of people in the world that are preaching a resurrection apart from repentance. There will be no such thing. Beloved, listen, I'm talking about the resurrection of the saints. Now, there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. But there's only one way to heaven. That resurrection that Jesus experienced in a glorified body. There's only one way, and that's through repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, he said, now he commands all men everywhere to repent. In chapter 20 and verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to separate them. They go hand in hand. Beloved, it's not an or. It's not repentance or faith, or faith or repentance. It's repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I've said this for years. Beloved, we're talking about repentance. Jesus said, I tell you nay, this is Luke 13:3, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5. Jesus said, I tell you nay, verbatim, word for word, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's no such thing as redemption apart from repentance, as a resurrection and getting to go to heaven with Jesus apart from repentance. These people were ignorant. They didn't know the Bible. God had showed up there through the Apostle Paul and told them the truth. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, the Word of God tells you over there, if you look in verse number, let me see if I can find it here. They're always wanting to hear a new thing, the Word of God said. There at Athens, he said, I perceive you're too superstitious. And go on down here. The Bible said here, let me see if I can find this here. Let me just read through it again. We'll find it. As he passed by, it's on up here in verse number 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics, they encountered him. And they said, what will this babbler say? Others say, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him, and they brought unto him Areopagus, and saying, may we know what this new doctrine is, wherefore thou speakest, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, that we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. This was new to them. They were ignorant of it. And the Word of God said, beloved, listen, some of them mocked. I don't know about you, but you and I should be thankful this morning that the resurrection and the truth of the resurrection is not new to us. We ought to thank God for a mommy and a daddy that taught us about Jesus. We ought to thank God for an old-fashioned preacher that didn't give up on the Bible, that realized what people needed was the Word of God, just like it is. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. It cuts coming and going. They didn't need their ears tickled. They needed to know that heaven's real, but they also needed to know that hell is real. They needed to know, beloved, that everybody's going to stand before God one day, ready or not. He's coming again. Beloved, he's appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness. Beloved, I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready for the resurrection? Where do you fit? Are you one that mocks? Are you one that says, I'll hear thee again of this matter? I want you to think about this, beloved. Agrippa in verse number 26 says, He said this, he said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You say, preacher, what was Paul preaching to Agrippa? The same message that he was preaching in Thessalonica. The same message that he was preaching in Berea. The same message that he was preaching at Athens. Because the message never changes. There'll come a day, if Jesus doesn't come first, there will be a different messenger standing in this place. But our hope and our prayer and our desire is they'll be preaching the same message. The message of the Word of God. The message of repentance. The message of revelation. The message of resurrection. The message has never changed. Thank God. Thank God. Paul's in heaven today. Paul's got, beloved, that place with the Lord. And thank God all of God's servants will one day after a while. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul went on and he said this. He said, I would together that thou were not only almost, but altogether such as I accept these bonds. Beloved, everybody that's ever met Jesus wants everybody else to meet Jesus. It's the best thing that ever happened to us when we met Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Let me give you this. Think about this. Some mocked, some put it off. Think about a man in the Bible. And he reasoned, Paul reasoned with Felix. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. I'm finding, beloved, listen, that many preachers today, that they think that the Christian life is all smiles. And they think that the message should always be uplifting. Beloved, God's men down through the years have not only preached the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God. But you find Paul right here. He reasoned righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Beloved, listen. The truth of the matter is, you turn your back on God's love. You turn your back on God's mercy. You turn your back on God's Son, on the cross, on the empty tomb. And beloved, you will experience the judgment of God. You say, Pastor, what happened to your judgment? I'm glad you asked. Look at Calvary. He took my sin in His body on that tree. He took my place. Everything I've ever done wrong, He forgave me of it and took it on Himself. That's where the judgment of the believer's sin is. It's nailed to an old rugged cross. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, He's given assurance that He hath raised Him from the dead. The Word of God said here, He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Felix trembled. I want to ask you something. Where are the folks that are trembling in this generation? Where are the folks that realize, as of right now, somewhere around 20,000 people have died in our nation. Some of them, no doubt, were prepared. They breathed their last breath and went right into the presence of God. But according to the Bible, narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. According to the Bible, many of those 20,000 either were ignorant or they put it off too long. They mocked. But for some reason, they died without Christ. Somebody dies, you always want to think the best and hope the best and say kind words and all that. That doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. What matters is, what did they do with Jesus? Did they receive Him or did they reject Him? Did they receive him or did they reject him? I'll give you this and I'm done. The Bible said Felix trembled and he answered, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I want to ask you something. If this is not a good time to get in your Bible, if this is not a good time to get it settled, you tell me what will be. 20,000 people have died. They thought it would be much worse. I'll tell you this. When the judgment of God falls on this world, it will be much worse. I've already read the book of the Revelation. Beloved, judgment is coming. You say, preacher, why would you mention that on Easter Sunday? The Bible said he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And he's given you assurance of that. He said, I promise you, just as sure as I rose from the dead, I will judge the world in righteousness. Beloved, I don't know about you, but I want to be found in Christ on that day. Let me say that again, a little differently. I will be found in Christ on that day. I was thinking about the resurrection. The Word of God tells us over there at Thessalonica, they heard. Some believed. There at Berea, they searched the Scriptures and many believed. Here at Athens, the Word of God said that they were ignorant of the Scriptures. And still certain men. You see, the Apostle Paul, if you remember this, he said, Agrippa said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. He said, preacher, I don't think Christians ought to witness to other people. Well, you're wrong. The Bible said we're ambassadors for Christ. This world's not our home. We're representatives of our real home. Let me tell you what Paul said. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I believe Agrippa knew full well, Brother Steve, that Paul was trying to persuade him of his need of Christ. He knew it. He had to know. Why did he say that if he didn't know it? We say, preacher, that wasn't right for Paul to do that. I beg your pardon. Here's what Paul said. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Beloved, if you knew what was coming in judgment, you'd persuade your children. You'd persuade your brothers and sisters. You'd persuade your mom and dad. You'd persuade your aunts and uncles. You'd persuade your neighbors to get ready because judgment is coming. It's Easter, the resurrection. That's the hope of every born-again believer, is that Christ will come. The resurrection mentioned throughout the chapter, it was the lifeblood of the early church. Thank God, Brother Steve, it's still our lifeblood today. He lives. He lives. I'll read something to you that I hope and pray will be a blessing. Little Philip, he was born with Down syndrome. He attended a third grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-old boys and girls. Typical of that age, the children did not readily accept Philip because of his differences. And this is according to an article in Leadership Magazine. But because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as part of the group, yet not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought legs, pantyhose containers, the kind that looked like large eggs. Each receiving one, the children were told to go outside on that lovely spring day and find some symbol of new life and put it in the egg-like container. Back in the classroom, they were to share their new life symbols, opening containers one by one in surprise fashion. After running about the church property in wild confusion, I looked for that day again at Bible Way. The students returned to the classroom and placed the containers on the table. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, whether it was a flower or a butterfly or a leaf, the class would ooh and ah. I bet that butterfly oohed and awed. Then one was open, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, "That's stupid. That's not fair. Somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip spoke up and he said, "That's mine." "Philip, you don't ever do things right," a student retorted. "There's nothing there." He said, "I did so do it." Philip insisted, "I did do it. It's empty." The tomb was empty. Silence followed. From then on, Philip became a full member of the class. He died not long afterward from an infection that most normal children would have shrugged off. At the funeral, this class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, but with their Sunday school teacher, each to lay on it an empty pantyhose egg. I believe this 8-year-old boy understood the tomb was empty. Do you understand that today? Do you understand that the one that came out of that tomb, you're going to face him? You can't escape that. I can call the doctor and cancel an appointment or postpone an appointment. But there's a day coming when I'll stand before my Lord. The only reason I'll be granted entrance into heaven, it's not my service, but it's His grace. He took my place on Calvary. He died. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That is the gospel message. Have you trusted Him? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you one that mocks? Or are you one that's putting it off? Are you one that says it's enough today? I'll repent. That means I'll turn from my sin. I'm sick of it. And I'll turn to Jesus. I'll turn from death. And I'll turn to life. And I'll trust Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I'll say this to you. I've been saying this for years. If you want a change in your life, you can have it. He'll change your life. You'll turn from your sin. Turn to Him. It's not the words, but the thought, "Lord, I'm tired of my sin. I'm sick of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. And I believe You're the Savior. I believe You died. I believe You were buried. I believe You rose again. I believe I'm going to face You one day after a while. And I don't want to face You in my sin. I want to face You having been forgiven because of what You did for me at Calvary." If you'd ask the Lord, beloved, you wouldn't just have to hear about a resurrection. You could experience one. "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." I guess if my math is right, 33 years ago, I went to church. I'll just tell you this. Dead men go to church. I went to church, Brother Steve, on a Sunday night, dead in my trespasses and sin. But thank God I didn't leave the way I came. He revealed himself to me. I said, it's enough. And I went to an old-fashioned altar and repented. Said, God, I'm sorry. What happened after that was a resurrection. I was made alive in Christ. The songwriter said, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Does he live within your heart? I can say this without apology. He wants to. He commandeth all men, Brother Steve, everywhere to repent. Because he wants to live in every man's heart. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here on this Easter Sunday morning. Thank you for the strength, our Lord. God, only you know the strength that you've given. I pray, dear Father, that this message would not fall on deaf ears. I realize, Lord, that somewhere, someone, and if it's only one, it would be worth it all, will hear this message and say yes to Jesus. Lord, I'm thinking of our people that have sheltered in place. I'm thinking, Lord, even of one man that I learned of yesterday that because of possible exposure is quarantined for 14 days. Lord, would you draw near to my precious brother? Would you help him and his wife? Would you draw near to our people? Would you help us all to understand that perfect love casteth out fear? Lord, I don't know how long I'll be here, but however long that is, may I be found serving you. Lord, speak to the heart of that individual today that doesn't know Jesus. Help us with these truths. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.